Welcome to the very first SARPcast. I'm going to be your host, Revolver, the six-shooter of love. And with me today is my guest, that sly, spry guy who's my pie in the sky. It's Kai.
Hey, Kai's Revolver, how's it going?
Not too bad. Kai's got a lot of irons in the fire right now. He's running the SS Atuan and the SS Raider for Origin, where he's the faction manager. Plus, he's got characters in the Senbu, the Miharu, and the Acadia. Holy crap, dude, where do you find time for all of this?
When I'm supposed to be doing other things.
Well, I hope. Well, I guess it's summer, so you don't really have school to worry about. But I hope you're not ignoring other things for SARP.
No, not really.
That's good. That's good.
Keep going.
All right. This week we'll be talking about the NMX War and doing Art and Doga, plus playing around a bit with the format of the SARPcast. We've got no listener mail or questions, obviously, but we've got a couple of segments called Pimp Your Plot and Post of the Week that we'll get to later. But first up, current events. The first new news, the newest news, Ikatsu's latest issue of SARP Nerds magazine is out, and I've got to say that I thought that the last one was kind of weak compared to the rest of what he's done, but this week he really picked up, and this issue is really awesome. Particularly like the giant Mishu text on the bottom. What the heck does that even mean?
Yeah, I really liked his 1,235 meters of compensation for the Shari class battleship.
That was Wes's new battleship.
Yes.
I'm a little iffy on the gun on the thing. You're bringing back the legacy cannon, which apparently creates FTL dead zones.
Yeah, which is kind of a retarded idea, but hey, you know what? It's helpful for making walls in space, I guess, so we'll use it.
Well, is it permanent FTL dead zones, or is it just like an interdiction field?
I think they're semi-permanent. I believe someone told me they last like 10 years before they fade away
and
space repairs itself. So
that's right. Both retard and gay have been used. We're very conservative here on the SARPcast.
Totally.
I love the way he does the magazine layouts. I mean, he's really got the format down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I wish he'd actually write the magazine.
All in due time. We just have to keep telling him he's doing these things really great, and maybe eventually he'll give us a little bit more.
Yeah, perhaps we'll have some of our players work on articles and actually get this thing published.
See, that would be cool, except for the fact that, I mean, things just move so quick on the internet that that's why we're doing a podcast, right?
Yep, podcast. Well, SARPcast.
The SARPcast, that's right. Yes. Next up, we've got plot audits are almost here again. And I don't know about you, but it seems like I just wrote the one up for the Raider last time.
Yeah, the one that I wrote up, let's see, I think I wrote up one for Fort Reddy, which unfortunately I just wasn't able to keep going up, so I had to close that. But
so does that mean you're going to be writing up the Raider one this time?
probably, but I've also got the Atuan to write up, so.
Oh, so you're gonna pawn the Raider off onto me once again.
Well, it's not like we really do much on the Raider, to be honest.
I think our grade might go down on the Raider, but
well, we posted like 3 posts in that since the last plot audit, so we should be not dead yet.
Oh, well, maybe I should make a Farley post or something.
Perhaps.
Without Kokuten, it's not like I'm really doing anything with Tira. Even with him, I wasn't really doing anything with Tira. I don't know.
Yeah. We just really figure out something. The whole, you know, taking old characters and making them used again idea just kind of bombed.
I don't think it necessarily bombed. I mean, it did what it was supposed to do, and it gave old characters something to do, which was basically socialize. I mean, it's not a plot that's doing anything other than here are some old characters, here's the CEO of Origin, and they kind of just go around and really it basically just gives the old characters something to do. Meanwhile, it allows plots to go on while the Raider goes around taking the CEO to do Origin Industries, making deals with, speaking of, making deals with the Abwarians, I hear.
Yeah, we're trying to get on that. Matt, the Abwarian commander, seems to have a bit on his plate himself, so it's, going slowly, but it's going steadily, so.
Yeah, the Abwarians have definitely exploded. Not quite as big as the Aromaquane explosion that we had a little while ago.
Yeah.
But definitely a big explosion. He's been writing a ton of stuff in the articles. He's got some players, a plot going. Really, their train is moving.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. It's cool to see one of the smaller factions that's just kind of been in the background so far, trying to come out and become a major player, which is really something that I wanted to do with Origin was, to bring out other factions, to bring people together, and to just really try to tie SARP together as one big entity, through my...
Without them all being the same, under the same faction, like some sort of like...
Yeah.
Exactly, which reminds me, I wish Faye would come back so we could get back on the Azorian train and getting them moving too.
Yes, that would be kind of cool to have our...
Faye, if you're listening to this, come back.
Yes, you must.
All right, moving along. We're getting into our actual discussion topics here. First up is the biggest thing going on in SARP website right now, which is the NMX war.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the tentacle monsters of yore have returned to wreak havoc and destroy, they have. They've already taken a large group of planets under Neplezlian control, in addition to a bunch of unnamed worlds that they've subsumed into their empire. They've been attacking Yamatai as well. UOC, I believe, has a couple of systems under attack. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. But being the three biggest factions in SARP, all three of them are being hit. Worlds are being lost. Posts are being made. Some wonderful threads. The Nanashi, which started it off, and I need to mention just because it was such a wonderful thing to make. And the fact that we got it out, I want to say April 1st, but it was actually the day before April 1st, I think. The night before, we spent like 8 hours doing this RP getting it out. And it was, Raz was great as the the bad guys, and then X-Hack and Kiki and you and I, and just we had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. That was probably the most fun I've had on a JP since my first JPs way back when on the Alliance.
Let's see. Also recently, Raz and I finished up the Tatiana posts, which was really fun. I like playing the great General Carblado, even though he's really a very cardboard cutout villain.
he is.
I'll definitely be happy when he's finally killed, flipped over and hitting his weak spot for massive damage.
It's super effective.
But I mean, talking about the NMX in general, it was really fun writing up the different types of NMX, and I'm glad that Wes and I were finally able to come to an agreement on how they all worked out.
Yeah, and I'm liking the new types, how they all go together, how instead of just being different types that are just really not cemented into each other, you turn them into actually one species that sort of has a life cycle and can change from one to the other, right?
Yeah, that's... In fact, I think that I would call them pretty much the best thing I've done on SARP, just because it takes something that already existed on the site and basically tried to make it a little more detail. The older Mishu were all just random things kind of thrown together, and so my goal, which... From your comments, it sounds like I succeeded with these new Mishu articles, was to give them a cohesive background in physiology and make it so that they're less just this random collection of fetishy monsters
and fodder,
and makes them into something that players can understand, not to the point where they become these less monsters. They're still very monstrous, but that there's something that there is a little bit of fear in having some understanding of what exactly is coming to kill you. The unknown is pretty scary, but when you don't know if something can kill you, there's still that hope that you're going to be okay. So I like the fact that...
You just know when one of these things comes, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're packing some serious heat, which most people don't tend to be when they come around.
Well, and I'm glad that I've gotten to see a couple of the other ways of dealing with the NMX war. I wasn't involved in the Yukaris' destruction of Ares Station, except on the Senbu, we were at that battle, and so while we weren't part of Hanako giving the order to explode the station, we actually watched it happen and dealt a little bit with the aftermath, which was really cool, having these two plots kind of like two ships passing in the night almost. We're not really interacting with each other. We're both interacting with sort of the same system, the same things going on. Both ships are in the same, you know, space around the station, but the two plots didn't actually interact except for maybe hearing a transmission or two coming from the other ship as part of the whole big thing. I really liked that. Additionally, I really liked the ground forces kind of thing. I have a character on the Phoenix who was involved with fighting the Mishu Ripper armor kind of up close and personally with plasma weapons. And for my own part, I was basically running away.
Running away from your own supposed partner who turned out to be infected with Mishu.
I meant more running away from the Ripper armor.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to talk too much about the background for character that I wrote. I mean, I like it and all, but really, when it comes to talking about plots, I'd rather talk about things where a bunch of players were together and doing things together. I mean, solo posting is cool, but I know there are people on the site who tend to not read things unless their character is directly involved in somehow. So
I kind of have that problem, but that's mostly because I just have so many characters, it's hard enough keeping tabs on them to actually read everything else.
And I'll admit for my own part that sometimes in a Jeep, especially when there's a lot of players, and believe me, the Senbu has a lot of players, that I'll skim and sometimes miss things. But I try to go back once the Jeeps get posted and reread them and see the things that I did miss. Because, I mean, everyone's really putting... You know, everyone's doing their part, and it's kind of almost disrespectful not to read the other people taking part. Maybe disrespectful is kind of the wrong term, but it feels less of being part of a group doing something if you're not actually being part of the group.
Well, yeah, and sort of the purpose of role-playing is collaborative story writing. It's not just you responding to something as if it's a video game. It's you're writing a story and making this, you know, ongoing narrative of what's going on in this universe in the Kikyo sector here with Sarp. So really what it is we're trying to write something that other people would want to read, and if you just don't read it, then that's kind of...
Well, and some people don't have that view in that we're not writing something for other people to read, but unless I misunderstand what you're saying, we're writing for something for us to read. Like, if you and I are doing something, we're not writing it for other people, we're writing it for you and I.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of something that you hope someone else will read and, you know, come to you and say, hey, that was cool, you know, what you guys did there. So that's really kind of one of the reasons
that's definitely something that I think is a goal, a nice goal to have, but I don't think it's not necessarily something that's in the forefront of my mind when I'm posting. Like, when I make a post, first of all, I'm trying to entertain myself. But what entertains me most is the reaction. So in order to get a good reaction, I want to make a good post that gives, you know, the people I want to react something to react off of.
Yes. And that's always what you really want to do, especially if you are a GM. You want something that your players can see and react to and interact with.
Yeah.
Which is something I honestly seem to have trouble with when I'm GMing, so I'm hoping to fix that, because during combat I seem to be a decent GM, but in most social situations I just can't think of something to do. So that's kind of the reason why I started the Atuan, was to have a very combat-centric plot where it's just the characters interacting with each other and the enemies. And hopefully that will come about into something a lot cooler than just jumbled random nonsense that some of our other posts have been.
Well, and I think that's kind of the problem with the Raider, in that we don't really have a whole lot of direction, so it is a whole lot of just standing around and interacting socially.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you feel that you're not as good of a GM, but that's kind of the point behind the Raider, so I wouldn't be too hard on yourself. The Atuan seems to be going just nicely, and people are having, social time with each other, but you're still moving stuff along. I think you're doing fine, personally.
Well, thank you.
Next up, we'll talk about a little bit about Doga, which is the 3D program that a lot of people use on the site to make mock-ups of what their ships look like and use it on the wiki. And Kai, one of the reasons why you're my guest here today is that you're pretty accomplished, one of the more accomplished Doga artists on the site. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you some questions and do a little bit of an interview thing with you. Basically, show the people listening how easy of a program it is to use and why they should consider giving it a try. We've had success in the past. Kiki was able to make some really nice designs almost right away as soon as she picked up the program.
Mm-hmm.
So, to start off, do you mostly use default pieces with the program, or do you find that you use more custom pieces that you download and find on the internet? I know Wes has posted a bunch of packs of custom pieces.
Yeah, well, I'm not really the best at using those custom things, so I just tend to stick to my the default things that are there.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it leaves me frustrated because I don't have a part that I could use, which would probably be in one of those packs that Wes posted, but I tend to make do with what's there, so...
Have you ever tried making your own pieces, like downloading Wings 3D, for instance, and which is a free 3D modeler, and making some new parts for Doga yourself?
I did try downloading Wings, but I can't quite figure out how it to work. Learned how to do 3D using the program 3DS Max, which was a ton of fun, and I was able to get a lot of really interesting, detailed things out of, and I just can't seem to get into the interface of a lot of other ones, but I like using Doga because it's, how I describe it, is Lego on steroids times 10,000.
I can see why you would call it that. So, what's your process for starting a new build? Like, you've got a blank, screen in front of you. How do you get going on a new design?
Well, first I think of what kind of ship I'm going to be designing, and sort of what role I want to fill with it, and maybe what kind of thing I want to be comparing it to that maybe already exists.
Uh-huh.
So I think about that before I even put any pieces on the board. And once I've done that, I generally like to work, I'll start with one big main piece, and that will be kind of the main thing, the overall shape of my ship. We'll start off with that one piece, and I'll just add things to it depending on what kind of features I want it to have, how I want it to perform. Some things I'll even give sort of moving parts to, things that change that I can show different views of having it a little bit different.
Oh, okay.
Like on the Justicar, it actually has two enormous mecha hangar bays on the sides. So it has these big, huge doors that kind of flip down, and I was able to model the inside of the bays with racks for the mecha so that it could open up and you could see what it looks like inside.
Yeah, and the Justicar, I have to say, is one of my favorite designs that you've done, not only in Doga, but I love just the way you've have it set up, all the deck plans that you did. It really feels like a more realistic, down-to-earth kind of ship than some things, which some other ships are cool, but they're more visually, aesthetically cool from the outside. And I think the Justicar is really good because it's the entire thing. It's not just how it looks from the outside. And I know some people think it's a little too blocky.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I like the way the nose section looks, and the whole backside expands from that. But yeah, the deck plans and where you've got all the different types of things that you have in the interior, I really like what you did with that one.
Well, when I built the Justicar, it was just, you know, it was actually originally designed for the plot that eventually became the Atuan. It was actually for Five Marks. And
we have to call him Vakine.
Oh yeah, Vakine or whatever. So it was for Vakine, and he just wanted something that could carry his Ashigaru mecha around. And so instead of, you know, he didn't really want a modified cargo ship, so I said, okay, I'll design something for you. So I just, when I built this thing, I just had it purpose-built in mind, just a small ship to carry, you know, a squadron of mecha and their support crew. And it's just very purpose-built, very kind of industrial, and just made rugged for that exact purpose. It's not, you know, entirely pretty. It only has, you know, a few guns on it because its real purpose is to get in there quick, dump its cargo, and leave.
And maybe that's why I like it so much, is because I'm really into that industrial sort of feeling, and which is why I like Origin Industries, too.
Yeah.
It's because for the most part, it is. It's a whole bunch of really outer space industrial stuff, and it doesn't approach the Uso sort of, you know, modern day realism.
Oh yes, with his
industrial
phallic stack style rockets from the 50s, which really, I don't know. I mean, I guess they make sense if he was writing a sci-fi novel in the 50s, but for today's thing and just the way that SARP is,
yeah,
they just don't
the
really.
The future is a lot different than the future used to be. speaking of, though, where do you get your inspiration from? Like, is there anywhere specifically that you like to look at that you get ideas from when in your designs?
I get a lot of ideas from Star Wars. I also like the Star Ocean games. I actually have a design in the works that's really kind of based off of the visual styling of ships in Star Ocean Till the End of Time. And I don't know. Yeah, for some reason I've always liked ships with pylons.
Uh-huh.
You know, things sticking off the ends of the wings, or, you know, maybe putting the STL drives off to the sides of the ship instead of building them all inside, and just kind of, I don't know, I just like a visual styling that looks very rugged and industrial, but also it looks like it could have some form of speed to it.
It's funny that you mentioned Star Ocean, because, like, I've played some of the games, and I never really looked a whole lot at the ships and the ship design in that game. So I guess you're just more oriented towards that type of thing, and that's the type of thing you're into is the ships, and so that catches your eye a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, Doga is an amazing program. Wes continually amazes me. His newest, the Shari, looks amazing.
That is a very nice model.
Yeah. The Plumeria.
Before he put all the guns on it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I just don't like all those guns.
I like the red version that he did for the Eucharis version that he did recently. And I know a lot of people don't like all the turrets that he added, but I like the color scheme that he did and the way that he does the glowing on the engines, which I know is a big thing that he likes, I also liked. But he's got a really good sense of adding detail in the right spots. Similar to how you do it, where you've got areas that are very that don't have a whole lot of detail, but you mix it in with very detailed parts that makes it flow really well. I don't know if that's a good explanation, but that's how I kind of see it in my head when I'm looking at the pictures.
Yeah, well, I try to make, you know, a lot of stuff about the way I see spaceships is they have a lot of smooth flowing lines, and that's kind of how I like to make my ships, very kind of smooth and flowy, and where they need stuff, you know, where they're going to be breaking up the outline anyway, I kind of tend to cluster things around that spot and make it look more like, you know, that was kind of built just... I don't really know how to describe what I...
No, you were going in the right direction there.
Yeah.
I knew what you were talking about. Is you do. You put a lot of stuff where it breaks up the outline, and you try to make it look like the important areas in terms of like where the guns are, where the bridge is, the things that you want to catch the eye, you make sure that they're the more detailed sections. It's like on a ship or a boat, you know, these days there is a lot of area that's smooth because it's got a whole bunch of stuff sitting in the ocean that no one's looking at. But on the really important stuff, you know, the place where there's, you know, communications, where there's weaponry, where, you know, even a flight deck, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on, unless you've got something else to say?
No, not really.
All right. Listeners, please try out Doga. Even if you're not very artistically mind, can't draw well, it's a very easy program to get into. The only problems I have with it are the camera controls are pretty dodgy.
They're difficult to get used to, but once you've figured out just how they work, you can...
I would much rather a more absolute camera control over the ZX and Y axes, but... It's free and it works very well, and people make really amazing stuff with it. So that's why we talked about it today. Next up is a segment which I would like to continue in further SARPcasts called Pimp Your Plot, where whoever's my guest is going to pick a plot that they really like and we'll talk about it and try to get listeners interested in the plot, if not to think about joining it, only to... Wow, that sentence was really messed up. Not only to get people to interested in joining it, but maybe just to read it even. So, for our first SARPcast, what plot are you going to choose?
I'm choosing the Senbu. It's kind of a new plot that I'm in, but it really isn't the first time that I've interacted with it. I actually helped back before when I was running Fort Ready. I helped with the Senbu's first JP of... just really going out and helping the first time Nataria blew up, really.
Oh, that's right, because Yoroku used to be a NPC in Fort Ready before... Not Yoroku. Yoroku's character, Kuriko, was an NPC in Fort Ready before it becoming a PC on the Senbu.
Yes. Yeah, so I had interacted with it, and I kind of liked just the way he star ran things, and just... kind of how well it was put together and just the ideas that he had, and I'd been sort of following it just as it went along, and finally after, you know, you guys just pestering me, hey, you know, just kind of pestering me about it, I finally broke down and made a character for it, and so I've been pretty happy with what's been going on so far. I know right now isn't really too action-y of a part. It's right after the end of battle, and
you really missed the action there, which I have to say is you're actually lucky, because when I joined the Senbu, it was right after an action-y point, but it was also at the beginning of a vacation point, so like all of my first stuff was hanging around during a vacation, and while it got me a lot of interaction, because my character is normally on the bridge, while most characters are PA pilots. It got me a lot of interaction with the other characters. I got to meet them. It was pretty boring. She's getting a lot of interaction in with the other characters, but it wasn't what I made the character for necessarily. I made the character to be, you know, a bridge bunny, sit on the bridge, and basically repeat the computer.
Become, you know, Sigourney Weaver, so...
Yeah, that was the idea behind the character. It was just someone who... Because it was coming back from not playing on SARP for a while, and the plot that I was in when I left was Higa, which no longer existed. And so I wanted to create a really kind of simple character that would be easy to play and kind of ease myself back in, which is why I decided to make a character in a Yamataian plot, and why I made a bridge operator on a primarily PA combat plot. And I was really lucky, I have to say, with you know, I just happened to be in IRC the same time Star was, and I was like, hey, what plot should I join? And he totally pimped his plot out. And at the time, I can remember the other plot I wanted to, I was thinking about joining was asking Wes to be on the Eucharist, because I have, even to this day, I still haven't been in a plot run by Wes, which I think is kind of one of my goals on the site, is I would like to be in a plot run by the guy who runs the site. And I'm kind of getting that chance with the freedom plot that he's got planned that we've been talking about since before April, really, mm-hmm. is when that whole idea started. But like I said, it was really lucky of me, and I think that's what makes Senbu the best plot on the site. Because I'll say it, I've said it before, Senbu is the best plot on SARP. And it comes down to the fact that Star is the best GM on the site. He leaves time for each character to really feel like they're in the spotlight, and he caters to each player for the most part. I mean, because we had Vac in the plot, giving mm-hmm. them the type of experience that they want. And all the while he does this, he's still managing to juggle the plot that he wants to tell. And there's not really that feeling that there are any NPCs that are more important than the player characters. I mean, there are times when there's a NPC who's higher rank or whatever and is giving commands, but it's not like they're stealing the spotlight. It's not like the plot is about.
The player characters and what they do with those commands, right?
Exactly. I mean, even early on, which doesn't happen as much nowadays, but early on, Shizuka, the captain of the Senbu, who's kind of the GM PC, even, you know, she would get into PA and try and help things out. But even when that type of stuff was going on, like, the main focus in the story would be what the PCs were doing and how they were accomplishing their mission. They were the ones that were moving the narrative forward. And Star is really good about that, and that's why I think that the Senbu is the best plot on the site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that, moving the narrative forward. I mean, it's kind of the reason why I like the Miharu, is because it's very, very detailed in just what it gets into in its plot, but it is really slow and has trouble moving its narrative forward. So that's one thing I was kind of looking for in the Senbu. It doesn't quite go down to as insane of detail as the Miharu does, but it gets its narrative moving, and it keeps it going, you know, in a way that involves everyone. So I just wanted to really get involved in that and thought that was pretty cool.
And so, as a warning for people who are interested in the Senbu, is the Senbu is JP only, which means... we all get together on Thursday nights. Star tends to post that every week, Thursday night. We've had some Twitter messages that Wes has put up, and we do it on IRC. We used to do it on Yahoo, but Yahoo gives a lot of problems with people not being able to necessarily see every message that comes through. We had a lot of problems with that. There is a text constraint on IRC, but there's a lot of ways to get around it. Either you can...
Chatzilla.
Chatzilla is one, because Chatzilla will automatically break up your posts. I use MIRC, and the way I break up my posts is I know exactly how long a post can be before it needs to be broken off, and then I just continue writing it in like Notepad or whatever. But so it is JP, so unfortunately it's not necessarily a plot for everyone, but it's really the most fun I've had on the site, and I can totally understand why you chose that as to be the first plot to be pimped out.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on to... Oh, we're almost at the end.
Yep, we're at our final segment.
Yes, this last segment is Post of the Week, where we pick out a post, hopefully an IC post, but it can be an OOC post. The only requirement is that it has to be posted on the board, and I'm going to add the requirement that it's not one of our own posts.
Well, after this week.
Oh, you're going to choose one of your own posts?
Sort of.
Okay, well, what do you have? What do you have for this week?
Huh?
What do
Oh,
you have for
well,
this week?
it's not what I said, but it is. I am the one who put it up on the board, but it's something that Wes said in the IRC that I feel everyone should know, which is kind of how I feel about this site. And Wes said, "My feelings are that Vesper and Uso have basically already proven this setting wouldn't work in reality. But hey, STL-only universes are boring, so let's not sweat the details of the tech and concentrate on A, what you can do with the tech rather than how, and B, what it looks like."
That's
Which
pretty.
is, yeah, which is pretty much my philosophy on the site. I come here to have fun, and, a little bit, I do enjoy learning some of the science things that these, people like Vesper and Uso put up, but really, that's not what I come here for. What I come here for is to do a science fiction role play and to just have fun doing things that are probably not scientifically possible.
It reminds me of the Tomo post where he said, "I just want my science fiction engines to be able to go at science fiction speeds." Oh, I forgot the end of the quote, but it. And
Yeah, that
the
was
only.
okay.
And I agree with what Wes says there, is that in the fact that I don't care as much how it works, but I do see where people are coming from on the fact that what you can do with the tech is really determined on how the tech works. So I gotta kind of disagree a little bit with his, with the maybe just the words that he used, because it's, I mean, for some people it is really important, but the reason that it tends to be important to those people is that is for cross-faction PvP, and
Yes.
that's something that, thank God, Star Army is finally moving away from, in the fact that. That one player is a member of one faction and feels that that is their faction, and they can't, you know, go off and play in other factions and have fun, and they have to represent their faction. And I'm really glad that nowadays it's a lot less like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in just about every faction. I've got characters in factions all over.
Yes.
It's really rare. Outside of, I mean, you're a faction manager even, and X-Hack's a faction manager, and he's in a bunch of places. I mean, the older faction managers tend to just still be in their faction, but even that's a little fuzzy.
Yeah. So that's a really cool thing for our site to be kind of moving into a more open and everybody's just everywhere and just trying to have fun kind of thing.
Exactly. I mean, I don't necessarily think cross-faction PvP is bad, but it really PvP should be PvP and not FMVFM. I mean, anything that's cross-faction attacking should be something agreed with on the faction managers, and it should be them working together to tell a story for players rather than. And I know, you know, some people are like, but what I want to do is build a faction and fight other factions. And, you know, if they have fun doing that, but it doesn't seem like anyone is having fun doing that. The people who tend to participate in that are people who, you know, have a lot of complaints about it. And if you guys out there are taking part in it and you're having fun, please tell me, hey, we are having fun, because from what it looks like on the outside is that you're not having fun.
And having fun is really what SARP's all about.
Exactly.
Which, one of the things is, let's see, I know we've done, scary background things for this SARP cast, so I magically know what your post of the week is. So you should tell us about your post of the week, because I think it's a rather fun post that, really shows the spirit of just the kind of things we can do to just have fun in SARP.
And the one that I've chosen is from one of our newer players, but it's someone that you've played with previously a whole lot.
Yes.
My post of the week is coming from the Atuan Episode 0 on page 3, Teto's Zenny post, where he says, and I'm going to quote him, "Zenny breathed, Zenny blinked, Zenny breathed some more, but did not blink." And that's the entire post. And the reason I'm picking this one is because, besides the fact that it made me laugh, is that I know as a player, is sometimes I feel the same way, is that I'm waiting for some impetuous to act on, like someone else needs to post before I can post, because I want to react, and I don't want to just post a bunch of self-serving internal dialogue that I know a lot of people tend to skip over when reading other people's posts, because they don't necessarily care about what the other person is thinking, they're caring about what the other person is doing. I've been in some RP communities where it was forbidden, like you were yelled at if you posted any internal dialogue whatsoever. If you posted what you were thinking, unless someone could read your thoughts and had asked what your thoughts were, you were not allowed. You were only allowed to post what other people could see. But, you know, in SARP we can do that. And people had been bugging Teto in IRC to post something. And so he just posted what his character would likely be doing, which was waiting to respond. And normally posts that I like have a little bit more meat in them, a little beefier than that that simple line. But this post really stood out to me as something that needed recognition, because it reflects, I think, what a lot of players feel, and that they don't respond. And they sit there and say, and I know I'm guilty of this, is they sit there and say, well, I need something to respond to, so post at me, and then I will, you know, and then I will post back.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I came up a little long-winded there.
Just a little bit. I think we've gone over our 30-minute mark already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're actually past the 40-minute mark.
Well, then I guess it's about time to wrap this up anyway. That was our last segment, so...
Yep.
Do you have any...
All right, that's it for the SARPcast numero uno. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see if we can do this again in a week, where our topics will be Hanako's panties and why every character should try Kasserine at least once. Have fun. Please send us any topics you'd like to see us cover, and remember to vote for SARP once a day, every day.
Ha ha ha.